Hi, welcome to the Dan Bradbury podcast, where turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. In this podcast, I'll bring you resources, tips, interviews, and lots more to help to grow your business and make it less dependent on you. So in this session, we're going to talk about how to double your sales in an afternoon. This strategy that we're going to talk about in this episode has added more to my business revenues and my personal wealth than any other, but I don't talk about it very often because there's a lot of quirks to it. You see, I think most business owners are stuck in a trap, a game that they can't win. They're stuck in the paradigm of just constantly going out and simply looking to find more customers to buy their existing products. It's a uphill battle. And the most underutilized asset in most business owners' arsenal is their customer list. If you've worked for years to have a base of customers who trust you because you gave them a good experience, a good service the first time around, one of the easiest routes to increase profitability is offering them other products and services. Because you don't have the same level of the customer acquisition cost, okay? But the question that's especially pertinent in this times, in recessionary times, is how can you get a lot of customers in one go, right? What if I could tell you not only could you get more customers, but you could do it with increased profit margins? What if I could tell you you could get a load of customers with increased improved profit margins and you could do it in an afternoon? You know, unless you've heard of it, you probably wouldn't believe me. I know I wouldn't have until I did it for the first time back in 2008. And this one idea executed, it took a couple of months to execute. But when it was executed, it doubled revenue and trebled profits over the next 12 months. And I've executed this strategy approximately half a dozen times since with similar results each time. What's the strategy? Acquisition. You acquire a company with a similar customer base and complementary, not competing product line. Okay. Now, for some of you listening, you'll immediately dismiss this out of hand and say it's too complex, I don't have the money. And I'd encourage you to listen on and reconsider, because I think you'd be surprised. I'd suggest to you it might be just a lack of references about how to do it. So if just the idea sounds possible, and again, I'm not saying this is a get-rich-quick scheme. It can't. There's plenty of risks with it. But if you learn the skills, this could be a game changer for your business. Okay? So let me use an analogy. Most people know, maybe you practice property investment, buy to let. Okay? So company acquisition has got all the advantages of a good buy to let investment, but on steroids. Okay. You know, so the concept of buy to let in property, you know, you buy a house, you rent it out, you have an income stream which pays down the mortgage and the cost and hopefully leaves you with a bit of profit. And then also over time, the house would increase in value. But I think there are six powerful reasons why buying companies is a much better and more effective idea and strategy than property. Number one, you get lots of new customers instantly. My research shows it's up to 7 times easier to get a customer who already trusts you to buy an additional product than it is to get somebody who's never heard of you before to buy for the first time. Okay, so with this strategy, all the customers from your newly acquired company, Company B, can be offered the products of Company A, right? And vice versa. So immediately you've got a customer base and you can significantly improve your sales with improved margin. Powerful reason number two. And you can get additional purchases from your existing customers, i.e. this is the reverse of reason one. Your existing company has a bunch of satisfied customers, and because you've now acquired a complementary company, you can push your satisfied customers to buy the products and services of Company B that complement what you've already bought, right? So you've already got these new products, and there was no R&D cost of developing these new product lines because they're already proven. Powerful reason number three, risk reduction. While there are risks that we're going to talk about as it relates to acquiring companies, one of the primary reasons small businesses fail is because the business owner didn't anticipate a risk. Okay, and it's one of the biggest limiting factors, by the way, on you exiting your business is the business is too unstable. So that could be the risk of a supplier or the customer being dependent on one employee. We're talking about single points of failure, right, which unravel the whole business. But by having another company, it can reduce the risk because you've got additional products, customers, locations, employees, and more. Okay, this is one of the reasons why larger companies have a higher multiple of profit that they sell for than smaller companies. Okay, in the stock market, this is known as the PE ratio. So, for example, if you look up Google or Apple, some of the biggest companies in the world, you know, I think Apple's over $1.5 trillion in valuation at the time of recording this. And that was about 29 times, I think, its annual profit. Where a lot of small businesses and certainly micro businesses sell in the UK last year, the average, I think, was 2.97 or 2.96 times its profit. And one of the reasons why is because the small businesses are more risky. Whereby having a larger business, typically, not always, it can be more, there's more stability, right? So, and because the business is more stable and less likely to fail, you're increasing its value. And you might say, Dan, I'm not looking to exit my business. Doesn't matter. If you're not exiting it, you're buying it. And there's less chance of disruption. If you've only got one product line and that becomes superseded by a competitor, you're in trouble. If you've got 2, 3, 4 product lines and different geographic locations, there's less chance of severe disruption. Powerful reason number 4, lowered cost base. If you've read my book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, you know that the second strategy for instantly improving your profits and cash flow is reducing expense ratios. Okay. So, you know, if you read about a big corporate acquisition, you know, on the BBC website, it'll say something like, we anticipate cost efficiencies of 1.6 billion over the next 3 years. Well, when it's two big companies being put together. But said more simply, when you put two companies together, there are a lot of duplicated costs that can be saved. Right. So I've had a lot of investments in the health and fitness sector. And so by putting multiple gyms together, for example, you can have, you only need one finance team. You only need one marketing person, right? So that person's salary, they can market 3 gyms or 5 gyms or 10 gyms often as easily for the same cost as doing one, okay? So big or small, all these savings get added back to the bottom line. So you acquiring this company, it's more profitable in your hands than it would be in somebody else's. Reason number 5, and this is a big one, and even more true in the current climate. You can borrow large amounts at low and often no interest and often very flexible terms, okay? So going back to our metaphor of buy-to-let property, right? Your options are more restricted and you're going to get a mortgage. If you're buying a company, there's more potential upside, but you often have more flexibility around the payment term. So, for example, if you have a company with a profit before tax of 200,000 and a multiple of 3, that would mean the price you would pay to acquire the company might be 600,000, okay? So in theory, if the company stayed level, in 3 years, you'd broken even, gotten all your money back, but you'd still own the asset worth 600,000 and it was producing £200,000 a year and no debt, right? That's a 33% on your money. But it's a big if the business can stay stable. But if you buy that concept for now, the question is, where do I find the 600,000? Normally, there are 3 sources of funding, okay? There's actually a lot, but they're kind of the big ones that are most commonly used are cash, that's your money, okay? Debt, borrowed money, and or an earnout. And an earnout is basically additional money that is paid to the seller if it's contingent on some conditions being met. i.e. the company hitting certain sales figures, et cetera, et cetera. An earnout is often used to bridge the gap between what the seller wants to sell for and the buyer wants to buy for. So it's used as a negotiation tool that if XYZ, the big contract that the seller's lined up that you now as a new acquirer are going to benefit from for the next 5 years, you might say, okay, if this customer stays and keeps buying and stays at this level, we're going to give you a percentage of that money over the next 5 years, for example, okay? But what's interesting is the ratios of the amount of the actual purchase price of the business allocated to these 3 areas varies widely, hugely, okay? And very commonly, in most small business sales, the seller of the company will finance a large portion of the deal. So let me give you an example. A few years ago, in fact, it was one of my early deals, so it was almost 10 years ago now. I did this. I bought a complementary company to one I already owned for about £600,000. Its previous year's profit were about £200,000. Because the seller wanted to emigrate. Okay, of course he would like all the money up front, but he couldn't get the money up front, and he knew that, quote unquote, I was good for it, that I could run the company well, and therefore it would succeed. So we negotiated, and I paid him a deposit of 5%, so that was £30,000, and the balance was spread in monthly payments over 3 years. Okay, so I agreed to pay the balance of £570,000 over 36 monthly installments with no interest. In other words, it was designed so the monthly profit would cover the payments, and then he could walk away today and know that he was going to get his payments. I can't do the math quick enough in my head, but if memory serves me rightly, it was something like £16,000 a month. And he got a lump of cash on day one, and every month he was getting paid the lumps of money. But the reality was, it was much better than that, because I knew going in, applying the stuff which I documented in my recent book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, I was able to significantly improve the business. And consequently, in fact, I improved it so much, I entered the business into an international marketing competition by how much I'd developed it, and I won a Porsche Cayman as a prize. But that's another story. There's a video of it on YouTube. But I got all the profit, I paid it off, so all the debt was gone within a year, and I owned a business that made over £200,000 in profit, right? Virtually no dependence on me and zero debt. And I later sold that business for a higher valuation and got more cash up front, which ties me in very nicely to what I think is the best reason, which is number six, massive time leverage. Most business owners are time poor, right? So even though the company that I acquired made a sensible investment in its own right, that wasn't the primary reason for the purchase. The reason I bought the company was because my existing company was highly profitable, but it really struggled to get enough fresh leads and new customers. But once it had them, it kept them for a long time. It monetized them very well. But acquiring this new company, which had exceptional systems for lead generation and acquiring new customers, it solved my core business's biggest problem. Right, so it enabled me to grow much more quickly than it could have done otherwise without any traditional marketing strategy. And that's priceless. So there are so many advantages to buying a complementary company to your own. Right, you get massive leverage, but, or I should say, and it's even more opportunity for this right now in recessionary times. So one of the companies that I own is a bookkeeping company, and therefore we interact with a lot of accountants. And a lot of accountants are telling us that business owners right now are going, especially of the baby boomer generation, which are kind of retirement age anyway, going, you know what? I don't want to come through this recession. I don't want to battle through all the ins and outs of the new legislations and laws and all the restrictions that are being applied right now and uncertain market conditions to bleed money for an extra year or two. I just want to get out. And some are actually choosing just to close the businesses closed right now from the lockdown period. And they're going, you know what? I'm not even going to reopen. I'm done. Why bother? Because it was a profitable company before, but they're not sure it's going to be profitable in the future. And these are perfect opportunity. If you can contact these people and build a relationship, you can often create a very advantageous deal with a low risk that can give you tremendous upside. However, massive disclaimer. So hopefully you heard all that and see this huge potential here. But it would be irresponsible of me, because I think there's quite a few gurus out there right now saying, oh, buy a company with none of your own money and it'll all magically work and there's no risk. And not all. There are some out there that are brilliant, that I know well, that are the real deal, but there are also quite a few charlatans. To be honest, I actually think it's the get-rich-quick scheme for entrepreneurs. And so a lot of people have sold pipe dreams. So can you buy a company for no money or a pound? Yes, you can. The problem is, if you don't know what you're doing, you're massively exposed. You can be massively exposed because you're talking about debt. And even if you're not personally guaranteed the debt, you can get sued. Trust me. You know. So I personally have benefited and profited to the tune of many millions of pounds from acquiring companies. But I will also say, for the record, I have been sued to the tune of many millions of pounds from mistakes that I made. So you must know what you're doing. So how do you do it if you've never done it before? make sure you've got a good team around you, right? So a competent team, the most common two, just because we'll be a good accountant and a lawyer. But let me be clear about this, is people that have got experience with the buying and selling of companies. Because any accountant will tell you that they've, you know, or might have done it, but that's very different than a veteran, okay? But what I would also say is far more important than that. You know, lawyers have got a reputation for being deal killers because they just see all the risk and they don't see the upside. And accountants will give you the financial and the tax implications, but it can be very overwhelming. What you really, really, really need, I mean, I think you need those two, but if I was outlining three, this third one would be the most important, would be to get some advice from a mentor that's been there and done it. Get advice from somebody that has bought and sold multiple companies because, you know, there's the legalities, there's the financial, but really there's no substitute for experience. And so while there's massive upside and there's incredible opportunities right now, you need to know what you're doing. Otherwise, the downside can be perilous. Okay. So it's not an area where you want to scrimp. You want to be diligent. You don't want to learn by trial and error. Okay. You don't get paid more money because you invented the idea, right? Or for doing it the first time. Okay. So learn vicariously through others, get the advice. And sometimes losses or where people have been burned is more helpful than the tricky strategy, right? It's the potholes that you want to learn to avoid, okay? I truly believe that there is going to be more wealth transferred in this next economic cycle than at any point in human history. And it is well documented and researched that some of the biggest companies in the world today were born in times of recession. And the reason why is they're able to adapt. They're able to be more flexible. If you are listening to this and you can be flexible, this strategy could give you huge acceleration and set up, catapult you forward and give you 5-10 years worth of advantage right now. But you need to get clued in. So that's all for today. Let me know what you think. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Three things you need to do now. Number one, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, get on over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, 9.5 Steps to Improving Your Profits and Cash Flow. Also, join our Facebook group, the Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity community, to connect with other business owners.